Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
Many people have health issues that have no resolution short of divine healing. But when these people pray for healing, the answer seems to be an ongoing no. Are you one of these people? Could it be that you're disappointed with God? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we begin another message in a series on the triumph of an answered prayer. Listen now as Erwin Lutzer talks about what to do when the answer disappoints.
I'm sure it's true to say that one of the greatest disappointments that you can ever experience in life is the disappointment of unanswered prayer. If you were to ask the question why there are so many Christians who are cynical, they would tell you some story about how God did not intervene when they needed him, sometimes when they needed him the most. We've all had the experiences, you know, you pray for finances and then something happens, maybe you even lose your job and you say, well, that's not the answer I was seeking. You pray for protection and sometimes God gives it to you, and then at other times there are accidents and we call on God. One day I was on a plane and there were some other Christians there and they said, oh, Pastor Lutzer, we're so glad that you're on this plane with us because if we hit turbulent weather, we know that you have connections and you can probably get the turbulence to stop. I said, no. I said, I'm just in sales, not in management. But the question, where is God when we need him? But I suppose that the deepest disappointment that people ever feel has to do with divine healing. When you see a child suffer, when you see a young mother die of cancer, leaving three children behind, it is at times like this that our faith becomes so eroded, we wonder whether we can go on believing. Barbara Sanderville, quadriplegic, said these words, "Knowing God had the power to heal me but wouldn't made me very bitter. I would read passages like Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter, accusing God of holding the promise of healing before me like a piece of meat before a starving dog. He tempted me with the possibility but never enabled me to reach it." That's why people are turned off. God does not come through for them. Well, as you know, this is the sixth in a series of messages, the triumph of unanswered prayer. And what we've been doing is seeing the triumph when prayer doesn't happen, when the answer is denied, when it's disguised. I hope that you get that message because that one emphasizes what it is like to worship God even if the answer isn't there. Today we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and we're going to see that God does miracles for some people and not for others. And yet he expects us to go on believing anyway. Hebrews chapter 11 is the passage of scripture and I would like to give you today four facts about faith. Four facts about faith that we hope will put all of this into perspective, that will enable all of us to go on believing and honoring God with our faith. Because the Bible says that when we have faith, we present it to Jesus at his appearing. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. First fact about faith. Faith sometimes changes our circumstances. You look at Hebrews chapter 11, and it is filled with heroes who saw huge miracles. We could talk about Abraham. We could always speak more clearly, even in terms of miracles, about Moses that begins in verse 23. But let me simply pick it up at verse 29, speaking about Moses. "By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned." What a miracle. Moses stands there with his staff in his hand, and God parts the waters. And then if that isn't enough in terms of miracles, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And we could go on and on, and the author knows that he could go on and on. So he says in verse 32, "And what more shall I say?" There was a pastor who was preaching an interminably long message. And he got to this phrase and says, "Yes, and what more shall I say?" And someone in the back row said, "Try amen." Ever since that time, I keep my eye on the folks in the back row. He knows that he could go on for a bit, so he says, "And what more shall I say? Time would fail to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection." You talk about miracles, and you've got dozens of them in this passage. Think of the different kinds of miracles. Here are women who receive their dead back, as it was during the days of Elijah. Talk about a resurrection, talk about a healing. You have miracles that have to do with the protection of God's people. Stop the mouths of lions, a reference to Daniel. You've got healed relationships, and you've got all kinds of battles that were fought, and God miraculously gave the victory. Sometimes faith changes our circumstances. Please keep that in mind. But number two, in terms of the facts, are these. Sometimes faith does not change our circumstances. Did you notice, and I hope that all of you have your Bibles open, but did you notice that I stopped reading in the middle of verse 35? Now, normally I don't stop in the middle of a verse, but here I did because there is a break in the middle of the verse. You have to understand that when the manuscripts of the New Testament were written, they did not have chapters or verse divisions. Those were added later to make it easier to find various passages. And I think that the person who gave the verse divisions here should have begun a new verse in the middle of verse 35, but he didn't. And so that's where I stopped, because the text is open. There it is, middle of verse 35. All right. Women receive back their dead by resurrection, but some, there's another category. Some were tormented, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves in the earth. And we might add, and there was no deliverance, none. They were sawed in two, he says. That's a reference to Isaiah, the great prophet. Wasn't he a person of faith? Why didn't God come to his deliverance, may I ask? It's a reference to that prophet. And then when he goes on talking about wandering about with goat skins and trying to live in caves and in poverty and being persecuted, very probably a reference to the time of the Maccabees. There was a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes who went into Egypt and then came into the land of Israel. And he offered a sow on the altar to insult the Jews. And then he began a horrendous persecution. Eleazar was the high priest, and he skinned the high priest alive. I will not even tell you what he did with Eleazar's 7 sons, because it's too gruesome, but just know that he dismembered them in some very, very torturous ways. Where was God when that was happening, let me ask you? Faith sometimes changes our circumstances, sometimes it doesn't change our circumstances. Now that was then. What about today? Let's fast forward it. We always think that the time when the church was persecuted is the early centuries. Let me be clear about something. More people have died as Christian martyrs in the last 35 to 50 years than ever died in the persecutions of early Rome. Thousands of people have been put to death. There's a magazine that I get, and Rebecca said to me, she asked me recently whether or not I read it, and I have to confess, not too often, but I should read it often. It's called The Voice of the Martyrs, begun by Richard Wurmbrand, who has spoken here at the Moody Church, by the way, and who was imprisoned in Romania many years ago under communism. But this magazine details all the persecutions around the world. Yesterday, I read the story of a young man by the name of Lorenzo, newly married, 22 years old, goes into a village and is identified as being a Christian, asked to dig his own grave, which he does, pleading for his release. And after his grave is dug, a noose is put around his neck, and he is strangled to death and left in the grave to die. It's happening today in countries of the world. Under communism, yes. Under some countries in Islam, your brothers and sisters are crying up to God for deliverance. And they're not seeing the walls of Jericho fall. They're not seeing the Red Sea as it parts. What they are doing is they are crying up to God and saying, God, where are you? Save our families, deliver us. And for the most part, they see very little deliverance, though there are some surprising stories of God's intervention. Faith sometimes changes our circumstances, sometimes it doesn't. You know, we love to tell the story of Daniel, who closed the mouths of lions, and it's a true story. But my wife and I, Rebecca, we've been to Rome, and we've walked through the Circus Maximus, where all those Christians did die, and they were thrown to animals. And there was no one there. There was no angel that came out of heaven to close the mouths of those hungry beasts. And they were torn in two. Faith sometimes changes our circumstances. Sometimes faith does not change our circumstances. Number three, faith never judges God by circumstances. Faith never judges God by circumstances.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Luther. I like to emphasize the fact that the reason that Hebrews chapter 11 was written, not just to show us all the miracles, but to show us the faithfulness of God for those who did not see any of the miracles. Well, I've written a brand new book entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? For a gift of any amount, this book can be yours. I believe it'll help you immensely as you run toward the finish line.
Erwin Lutzer, beginning When the Answer Disappoints, another in a series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Next time on Running to Win, more on how to handle those unexpected answers. Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? That's a book that all too many believers need to read. A copy is waiting for you as our gift when you give a gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.